episode 4 of the SVAPA podcast. SVAPA is the Old People's Association for St. Vincent School for the Visually Impaired. And now here are your hosts, Michael and Joe.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the SVOPA podcast. It's good to be back with you, and it's Joe here as usual, and with me is Michael, who's not long back from a gorgeous Mediterranean cruise, lucky thing. Hi Michael, how are you doing?
Hi Joe, I'm great, thank you. Had a nice week away last week, which unfortunately does mean we've not had as much time to prepare the podcast, so there's not as much content, unfortunately, but it gives you a chance to give us some more for the future. Don't forget, podcast at svopa.co.uk. What have you been doing for the last month then, Joe?
Me, not a lot. The weather's changing, it's rubbish, so I've not been down on the beach. It's a bit grim.
It is, it's been a bit rubbish, hasn't it? But Kimber, I'm only thinking this morning, we posted it on Facebook, didn't we, that this time of the year, we started the fundraising when we were at school with the discos.
That's right, we did.
And I think when you were there, it would have been the house ones, wouldn't it? The DePaul, Labrie and Marriott.
No, it wasn't. It was the year ones.
Ah, we switched to them, had we?
Yeah, we'd switched to the year ones by then. So each year, there were four discos in total, weren't there?
Good fun. Did you do anything on them?
I did a couple of the stalls. I couldn't tell you what they were off the top of my head. But, you know, we used to... I did one with Heidi McGough. It was something to do with music, and I can't remember.
No, I did a computer game one once, and a competition, who could get the best score. I think I also did. I was a fortune teller's assistant once as well. I think that was in one of the early ones, but I got it completely wrong.
Did you dress up?
I can't remember. It was years ago. So yeah, we had some good fun doing those, didn't we?
It was good, yeah. So we'd love to hear feedback from anybody else who remembers them, perhaps better than we do.
Well, yeah, and, you know, are they still doing things now? I think someone did comment that they did still carry on doing the food parcels for the elderly, so, yeah.
Oh, I used to love doing it. We got to deliver those one Christmas.
Oh, right, that'd be great. That.
Yeah, it was good.
I remember seeing them. Have you been watching anything on the TV recently as well?
Bit of X Factor, but not as much as I normally would, which brings us to asking people if anybody out there has ever auditioned for X Factor or any other reality programme. We'd love to hear about it, wouldn't we?
We would, and I do know that there are a couple of you out there, so I know someone, I'm not going to mention any names, but did quite well, so, you know, please get in touch with us.
Oh yeah, definitely. Come and do an interview about it. Tell us all about it. So what else have we got coming up in this podcast, Michael?
We've got an interview with Shelley Roberts, who was Shelley Bambo, and she's talking about sailing, because we want to stick with the sports theme. We had a little bit of stuff for last month, so we're going to bring it over. And because we're doing sailing, we want to give, you know, past pupils, people, the opportunity to take up sport. So I've also got Rob Owen on, who runs the UK North Blind Sailing Association, on ways to possibly get into sailing. We've also got some feedback, a little bit of feedback there. And I think we've got some news items as well. So what we'll do is we'll go over to the news.
And now, here are some news items.
We mentioned Site Village York last month. On the 6th and 7th of November, Site Village London is taking place. The exhibition is being held at the Kensington Town Hall. For more information, visit www.sitevillage.org.
Right, and on a similar note, I was actually at the York show, which wasn't bad. There weren't that many people there, but it was nice to have a chat to some of the vendors. It was good to see some of the new equipment, what's coming out as well. But when I was talking to the organisers at Site Village, they mentioned Site Village Marketplace, which is like a front end which they've recently set up so that all the vendors and people who show at Site Village or people who have any connections with site loss, be that services, equipment, can display their products all in one place. So you're looking for a long cane, or you're looking for a reader or magnifier, you can just go to www.sitevillagemarketplace.com And I'm just looking at the site now, and they've got everything down in audio equipment, braille equipment, CCTVs, computers, daily living equipment. So obviously the things that aren't too expensive are on there as well. And it just means you've got a wider choice, and you can compare different ones at the same time. So check the website out.
The BBC Good Food Show takes place from the 28th of November to the 2nd of December at the NEC in Birmingham. For the first time, guide dogs will have a stall. They'll be showing the sensory tunnel, and there'll be opportunities to blind taste different things. I think one of the things is Thornton's chocolate, so that's got to be a must. Anyway, if you want more details, visit www.goodfoodshow.com.
Why not email us at podcast@svupa.co.uk?
Okay, and now we've got a great interview with Shelley Roberts, talking about her days at school and what she's been doing since, and quite a lot about her experiences of blind sailing.
Hi everyone, we've got Shelley Roberts on the phone at the moment. She was Shelley Bembo. I hope a lot of people remember her. And when did you attend school? Shelley, and what did you think about it? How did it go, your time there?
I started in January 1984, and I stayed there until June, 1996. It was all right when I was in the infants, apart from the fact that they made me go on the walking machine thing, which I didn't quite understand how come I was walking but didn't move anywhere. That was a bit annoying. They said I didn't walk quick enough. They tried to make me walk faster. That used to annoy me. I didn't like the fact that the carers were a bit too overprotective, and they told me off for having two chips on my fork that were too long to fit in my mouth. But otherwise, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I made a lot of friends there that I still keep in touch with now.
You know, what were your sort of favourite things you did while you were there, you know, over the years?
We did a couple of sailing weekends down to Southampton. I went on 24-foot duets. I enjoyed those. So they were good. They were run by Ocean Youth. We used to go. A couple of people went. David Lawson. A couple of people went on the school minibus. And I enjoyed the trip to France. I went twice. I went once to Paris and once to Le Touquet. I enjoyed that. Enjoyed those.
Yeah, we never did anything like that when we were there, did we, Joe?
We didn't. No, the best thing we ever got was the New Brighton trip, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the dinner at that, and I enjoyed the discos, but I wasn't that fussed on the fair. I used to mind everybody's glasses and inhalers while they went on the fair. I enjoyed the dinners and the discos. I enjoyed getting the gifts.
Yeah, we remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, one year I got a radio that had a loose connection. I took it back into school and gave it to Mr. Lampton after they had any spare ones, but I don't think they did because I never got another one.
So what have you done since leaving St. Vincent's, Shelley?
I went to RNC, the Royal National College in Hereford, from 1996 until 1998, and I did a GMVQ, Advanced in Business Studies, there. I passed that. I retook at AS level French because I took it at school, but they'd never done anything above a GCSE before, and I didn't do very well. I only got a D. So I retook it at RNC, and I passed it. And then I went on to the University of Glamorgan and did an HND in Legal Studies, which I passed eventually, despite Glamorgan. And now I'm working as a Braille verifier in a transcription service in Chester. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get into the law.
You've been working there a while, have you?
Yeah, since 2004, yeah.
It's really good. It's amazing, actually. We were only saying this on the last podcast, weren't we, Joe? That quite a lot of people from school who, you know, have got into quite reasonable jobs and has done quite well for themselves.
Yeah. I did try and apply for jobs in law. My mum got them out of the newspaper for me, and I did send off my CV. I did fill in application forms. I did get a few interviews at first, but as soon as people met me and they realised I couldn't see, they didn't appear to want to know. They even said that they might. So one of them even said they might be allergic to my guide dog, and that was the reason why they wouldn't employ me.
Oh no!
We get all sorts, don't we?
We do.
Obviously, it's September at the moment. The Paralympics just finished yesterday, so we concentrated a bit on sport on this episode. So, you're into sailing, Shelley. How did you get into it? Obviously, you did a little bit at St. Vincent's as well. So,
I did, yeah. I was asked if I wanted to try it. I went into the clock shop in Hoylake, and there was a man used to work in there, used to mend the clock, and his son goes to the Wirral Disabled Marine Association, which is based in West Kirby. And he asked me if I'd ever tried sailing. I said, no. He said, would you like to try it? And I said, okay, yes, please. So I've been going there since I was 11. They meet on a Sunday afternoon at West Kirby Marine Lake at the end where the lifeboat is. They sail from 12 till 4, just between April and October. They're a bit miserable. They don't sail in the winter because it's too cold. But you have to have a licence to sail on the lake. The licence only lasts from April till October.
That's great, though. Sounds like good fun.
So, I've been down south as well. I've been on sailing trips in Southampton and Cornwall, run by the Sports of the Disabled Charitable Trust. And I sail on yachts on those, and I steer them with the aid of an audio compass. It bleeps to let me know when I've gone off course. When you go off course one way, it makes a high-pitched bleep. When you go off the other way, it makes a low-pitched bleep. Every year I can never remember which way is which. I have to learn all over again every year because I've had a few sleeps and a few drinks since.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had a weekend away with you sailing, so yeah, I know where you're coming from there.
Sailors like to drink, don't they?
Oh, they do. I mean, I've just been sailing this weekend with UK North Blind Sailing, yeah, on the J80s, and you've done a weekend of that too as well.
I've done a few, three or four I think I've done, yeah.
And which sort of size boat do you prefer, the dinghies or the larger boats?
I do enjoy them both. When it's rough, I'm only a little midget. I haven't got very long legs, so if it's really rough, I can't sit on one side of a yacht and brace myself against the other. My legs aren't long enough. The dinghies are more my size. But I enjoy both.
So when you've done the sailing down south, has that been part of the blind week, as they call it?
Yeah, the Blind Week, yeah, it's run by the Sports of the Disabled Charitable Trust. Yeah, started off as Sailability, it was part of the RYA, and then the Sports for the Disabled took it over.
Because I know I've been thinking about it. It's usually about July, isn't it?
Yeah, the last week in June, first week in July, yeah.
Right. So, and did you go this year?
I didn't this year, no, because I've only just got married, and it seemed a shame to go on holiday by myself and leave my husband behind. He couldn't get time off work.
Yeah, because I know when I saw you last year, you weren't Shelley Roberts then.
No.
So you've been married less than 12 months, have you?
Yeah, last September, September the 17th.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank congratulations.
You. Yeah. And many a long year ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I've been married 20 years and Joe's been married...
I've been married 14.
Yeah, so...
Right.
Anything else you want to sort of put on and say while we've got you on the show?
A couple of other things I did when I was at St. Vincent's. I went on a week up in Snowdon. I climbed Snowdon, went up the pig track.
See, that's good because you can at least say you've done Ben Nevis, really, based on your size, couldn't you?
Yeah. Because I was so little as well as I could. Yeah, it seemed like Ben Nevis. Yeah. The only problem with it was when I got up to the top, the blooming cafe was shut. I had to just turn round and walk all the way back down again.
It's all right. There is a cafe. When I did Ben Nevis, it was just snow on the top.
You have done the actual Ben Nevis.
I have. Yeah, it was about 20 years ago. We did it for cystic fibrosis, me and my wife.
Right.
We stood on this bit of snow at the top on this little concrete area. It was only when we got to the bottom afterwards, he said it's about 15 foot deep, that snow.
Wow. So, Shelley, did you want to give out some contact details for people to get in touch with you who perhaps remember you from school, or did you want people to contact us and we can put them in touch with you? Which way would you prefer to do that?
I'll give people my phone number and my mobile, yes, so they can send me text if they can just remember to put their names on the text. Otherwise, if I haven't got the person's number, it just comes up as a number, doesn't it, on a mobile text. My name's now Shelley Roberts. My phone number is 0151 345 1253. My mobile is 077 88 53 00 01. And my email address, hopefully I'll get my router sorted out soon, is shellyroberts78@hotmail.com. That's all in lowercase, and it's Shelly, S-H-E-L-L-Y.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Shelly. So anybody listening to this, if you remember Shelly from school or just want to get in touch and say hello and get to know Shelly, then just get in touch.
Thank you very much, Shelly.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I will speak to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks very much, then.
Nice to
Thanks,
speak
Shelly.
To you, Joe.
Yeah, you too. Okay, hi everyone. Now we've got an interview with Rob Owen, who is the chairman of North Blind Sailing Association, and he's kindly agreed to do an interview with myself and Michael. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing? Hi, Michael.
Hi, Rob. How's it going?
Good, yeah, good.
Obviously, you've been sailing for quite a long time, and how did you get involved in it, Rob, and what sort of things have you done?
I've been involved in blind sailing for 20-odd years now. I first started sailing through the Guide Dogs Adventure Group through the RIA Foundation, which used to be just blind sailors. I did a couple of what's become colloquially known as Blind Week, which is cruising weeks using the Solent or from Falmouth. And also some racing, keelboat racing, which was organised through the RYA Foundation. I'd never sailed previously to this, but I found that with quite a bit of coaching and a lot of goodwill, it was a great sport to get involved in. And I went to a couple of world championships. One was held in Weymouth, where this year's Olympic race sailing was taken part, and also in Miami a couple of years later. And it was really great fun. You know, there'd be sort of 40 and 15 different countries involved in the World Blind Sailing Championships, and they happened irregularly, every 3 or 4 years, really. So there's a lot of sailing going on there. It just doesn't get that much publicity. The reason we started the idea of starting a charity in the north of England was because the majority of blind sailing was based around Southampton, which is where Sailability, the sort of national charity for disabled sailing, is based. And a lot of it happens on in the Solent, around the Isle of Wight and sort of Falmouth way. But there's nothing in the north, so this is why we started, this is our third year now, but we started UK North Blind Sailing Association. We were lucky to get some good funding from the lottery funding and Santander and various other people to run training courses at Plasma 9 North Wales, which is a beautiful sailing centre and a lovely part of the country. And we've had, I suppose, over 100 different blind people taking part over the last 2.5 years in our courses, which has been absolutely fabulous. And we continue to raise funds, and we're spreading our wings a little bit this last 18 months. We've managed to get an involvement with the Royal Mersey Yacht Club, which is more local to us than North Wales. So we've been racing over the last 12 months on the River Mersey. We managed to raise funds to buy a Mersey Milan called Mermaid. It's sort of 1930s 25-foot wooden yacht. Very safe to sail for our guys. And we've had some great fun sailing Mermaid on the River Mersey. So, so far we've been extremely lucky and very well supported by our volunteers and all of the guys that have wanted to take part with us.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've done a number of weekends with you, Rob, and I've really enjoyed it. It's something I've wanted to do for years. I know a lot of other VIs you speak to have had a real benefit from it, and it's just one of them bucket list things you wanted to do, but being able to carry on and do more as well. And I know we just dinghy sailing the other year, which was great when we got when we got the weather for it. So from my point, I'm really grateful for the opportunity and the sort of things you've been able to do.
Yeah, it's a great buzz for us, and I mean our committee. There's all sorts of things going on behind the scenes. I mean, I didn't realise when I used to go sailing, you just sort of turn up with your jacket over your arm and your wellies and go out on the boat. But there's so much going on in the background, and there's so many, you know, other volunteers that take part. But the real buzz for us, you know, in organising it is that people do enjoy it. And they are getting out and getting involved in things, something they never thought maybe they would be able to do. And we have a good social sort of side to it. We have a good time at the centre generally with the group of people we get there. So I think you'd agree with that, Michael. Yeah,
thank you.
We enjoy ourselves.
Oh, we do. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, how can people say get involved with you, Rob? And also, more importantly, if they want to, how can people donate for the charity as well?
Okay, well, I mean, our main contact is our email address, which is UKN, N for Norman, blindsailing@ymail.com. I can also give you a direct telephone number, which is sometimes easy. You can speak to a real person. My mobile number, which is always available, I'm happy to talk to anybody, is 077-493-43069. We have a website, UK North Blind Sailing Association, with quite a lot of photos on there for people that can see them, and also links to Facebook. So if you're interested in Facebook, you find quite a lot of photos on there as well. I mean, obviously we're a charity. We don't, all our people are volunteers. Any money that we get is either through our own fundraising or through donations. So we're always there, and you know, we're always in need of money, but whatever money we get is spent specifically on providing sailing opportunities for visually impaired people. So anything from £5 to £500 is spent very, very productively in providing sailing opportunities for people. That's what we do, and that's what we want to do.
That's really good, Rob. I mean, I've benefited, and I know so many more will over the coming years. So, if you are interested in anyone, do get in touch with Rob, or you're looking for opportunities, with your contacts and Rob's knowledge, he can put you in touch with people as well. Thank you very much, Rob. I really appreciate the time, and obviously appreciate the weekend I've spent with you guys as well. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I hope we pick up some more of the eyes from this interview that will come and get contact us and come and take part. Thanks very much, Michael. Thanks, Joe.
Why not follow us on Twitter at SVOPA?
Right, we've had some great feedback over the past few weeks about the podcasts, and also we've had some feedback about people's views about the time at school. So I'm going to hand over to Michael, and he's going to read a few bits of the feedback out to you, and hopefully it'll inspire some of you to get in touch and give us your feedback about the podcasts or anything you want us to feature in the future. So I'll hand over to Michael now.
Thanks, Joe. I've had a couple of messages. First one from Josie Shelley. Hi all. Finally got round to listening to the three new podcasts, and I must say I enjoyed them immensely. I like to keep up with all the news items, and especially enjoyed listening to the interviews, which showed people's different experience since leaving school. And if you would like any help with future recordings, I would be happy to help. That's cheers, Josie Shelley, was Josie Ward. And hopefully we'll be getting Josie on in our December episode, or afterwards as well, for maybe another interview. So I've got another one here as well. With just get that here for everyone. It says, "Hello, Michael. I've been meaning to drop you a note for a while to let you know that I'm really enjoying the SVOPA podcasts. You and Joe are doing a brilliant job. Keep up the good work. Hope you are keeping well. Very best wishes." And that's from Caroline Moore. Thanks, Caroline. It was great to catch up with you at the reunion. And hopefully we'll catch you again soon. And it's, you know, we like to be praised for the work we do, don't we, Joe?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, you know, got to feed our egos. No, we do it because we enjoy it, as I think everyone who's commented have actually said that as well. People can hear that we enjoy it, and we do. It's good fun.
We do. It is. It really is good fun. And we like it when people come on and join us as well, don't we? You know, so hopefully more of you will get in touch and have a go.
I hope so too. And I've also got one here. I'm going to keep this anonymous because not everybody enjoyed school. I think we all had things we hated and things we loved. But this one's, "My husband went from 1959 to 1969 and said he hated every minute. Had told us about the times when him and friends used to climb out the windows and go to the Bow and Arrow pub and have a pint with the school farmer. Sneak back through the window to be greeted by one of the nuns saying, 'I know where you've been.'" So, you know, not everyone liked it, but at least he got a drink out of it, so it weren't that bad, I'd say. And, you know,
but that's fine, isn't it? You know, if you didn't like school, then we still want to hear from you. You know, if you want to get involved, that's absolutely fine, isn't it?
It is, because like we've said, it's not just about the school. It's about people who were friends, and if you hated the school, you may have made friends, and if we can bring you back together so you can have a chat and that sort of thing, it's all worth it.
It is. Do you know, we've had people come back to the school for a reunion who absolutely hated school or had really bad memories, and they've said they found it quite cathartic and they've made friends, which is great.
It is. Like I said, that's what it is all about. It's, you know, it's fun. I've enjoyed being chair, you know. And I will continue as long as you guys want me or someone takes my job. So that's fine. We've also had a couple of messages on the Twitter as well, which I've not actually got to hand, but I'll hopefully bring them up on the next episode. Twitter is at SVOPA. Email us at podcast@svopa.co.uk. Also, we had a competition on last month as well, and we've not had any entries yet. So what was the competition, Joe?
It was to win a £10 Amazon voucher, and it was to rename the podcast. So we want some really good names, don't we? We want people to tell us what they'd like it to be called.
And if not, we'll just leave it at the SVOPA podcast as it is now. And closing date really is the start of the reunion at the weekend next month, which is only just over 2 weeks away.
It is. I can't wait.
And I think what we'll do, should we go into the events next then, Joe?
Yeah.
Why not?
And now, here are some events. Why not come and join us at one, or two, or all of them?
Clifton Breakfast in Tynmouth. It's running from the 2nd of November, which is a Friday, to the 5th of November, which is the Monday. It's £45 a night. If you're a member of the RNIB, you'll get it for £40.50 a night. That's dinner, bed and breakfast. If you want to book, you need to contact the hotel direct on 01626 770052 and quote Fishwick. There are still rooms available and you've still got time to book. So we've got 19 coming so far as we know. And so if you fancy it, come along and join us. Hopefully it's going to be a really good weekend.
Yep, we're looking forward to it. It's less than three weeks now as we're recording this. So probably about 2 weeks when you listen to it. And the Gateshead weekend, obviously from the 22nd of February, again for the weekend or whatever you want to join us for, that's £35 per person per night for bed, breakfast and evening meal. And £50 if it's a single person, unfortunately. Contact the hotel direct on 0191 477 1105. And on this one, quote SVOPA. Again, dates for your diary. 18th of May next year for the reunion and at the school. And we're also in November, which we're going to be fixing the date hopefully soon, we're going to be having our weekend at the Belmont Hotel in London. Now, so, you know, get back in touch with us, podcast@svopa. If there's something you want to do on the weekend, we want to know. We're going to have a school gala and possibly some bowling and a bit of karaoke. So we're going to have a good laugh. I'm looking forward to it.
We definitely are. And just an extra that I forgot to mention before, the hotel have agreed that if anyone's travelling a long way and they want to stay for longer, they will hold the price of £45, or with your discount, £40.50, if you wanted to stay for a few extra nights as well.
If you remember last month, we had a great email from Joan Clark about the opportunity she had to take part in the Paralympics. Well, since that email, she's actually taken part as a games maker. So Karen is going to read out this email which she sent to us. It is quite a long email, but I did feel it was right to read it in its entirety because she spent a lot of time doing that and there's a lot of detail in it. Please enjoy it.
My name is Mrs. Joan Clark. I'm in my 50s and a member of Eastbourne Blind Society. This is my story about volunteering as a games maker at the Paralympic Games. Back in August 2010, I read an article about working at London 2012 in RNIB's Vision magazine, the magazine for the charity's members. It included a phone number and a name to call at the RNIB. Intrigued by the idea of being part of such an incredible experience, I picked up the phone and gave them a call. I was given the number of the London 2012 Games registration line. When I called, I explained I was registered blind and couldn't complete the application form online. Instead, they talked me through it and I registered over the phone. I said I was available to volunteer for both the Olympics and the Paralympics. I didn't hear anything else then until December 2010, when I received an email to say I had been shortlisted as a games maker for the Paralympic Games. I will be part of the event services team at the Olympic Stadium in the Olympic Park at Stratford in London. I was excited. The event services team was referred to as the unofficial face of the Games, directing spectators around the stadium and helping them to their seats. The Olympic Stadium will be home to the athletics as well as track and field sports. I really hoped I'd be chosen. In June 2011, I received an email inviting me to an interview. 2 months later, I travelled to London's Excel Centre to meet with the organisers. For 90 minutes, they asked me numerous questions, including why I'd applied for the Games, how did I cope with crowds, and how would my visual impairment affect me. I told them it wouldn't be an issue. Then I had to wait. It wasn't until December that I heard I'd been chosen as a games maker for the Paralympics. I was over the moon. In February 2012, I went to Wembley Arena in London for my orientation training, which involved listening to speakers and watching a big screen filled with information about the 2012 Olympic and Paralympic Games. It was easy to follow as it had audio description. On my way back to the station, I got chattering to another games maker who asked me where I was staying during my shifts. I said I wasn't sure, and out of the blue, she said I could stay with her and her partner in Barking, which is a few tube stops away from the Olympic Park. This was brilliant news and a great weight off my mind. Then in May 2012, the RNIB arranged a meeting with Kate, an RNIB volunteer who was to be my sighted guide for the Paralympics. The next day, I attended my role-specific training at Hackney Community College in London for the day. There, they explained my duties for my game maker role. I was told I would be responsible for checking tickets and showing spectators to their seats. In August, I collected the distinctive purple and cream games maker uniform and accreditation from the centre, and later that month, Kate and I attended venue-specific training at the stadium at the Olympic Park. By this time, the Olympics had finished and Olympic fever had taken over the country. It was exciting to be shown around the famous stadium, sit in its seats and realise I was going to go down in history as being part of something wonderful. On August 30th, I travelled to London with my suitcase and went to my adopted home. I was booked in for 9 shifts, including the closing ceremony. The next morning, I went to the Olympic Park. It was a few hours before the shift started, but I was meeting BBC Sussex at 11 a.m. as I was doing a live interview on the Danny Pike show. For 10 minutes, I spoke on air about my role as a games maker. At 3 p.m, I met my support worker Kate, and we went to the Olympic Park together. My first shift started, as all the others did, by going through airport-like security. Our bags were checked and we had to walk through a body scanner. Then we proceeded to the area called the workforce. There we were allocated the area at the stadium where we'd work that day. We assembled at a meeting point with a group of games makers. We were then assigned a team leader and broke off into smaller groups before we were given a specific job. Most people disliked being given the buggy store to manage, as it meant collapsing hundreds of prams and wheelchairs. Fortunately, it was never assigned to me, as they thought I might not be able to see what I was doing and might get my fingers caught. Instead, I was usually placed on ticketing and seating, which meant checking tickets to see if spectators were in the right place and then direct them to their seats. Kate would check the seat numbers before the stadium opened and tell me how they were arranged. When the spectators came, she would read the number on their tickets, or when it was busy, I would ask the ticket holder which seat they were in and then direct them left or right, up a flight of stairs or down. The general public were very jolly, and not one person was impatient with me as I carried my white cane at all times. They seemed to enjoy assisting me in reading out their ticket details when necessary. Even though Kate and I worked together as a team, we had to deal with people separately if there were quite a few who came at once, as it eased congestion and stopped stairwells from being blocked. I met people from all around the world, which I found really interesting. The two places I enjoyed being stationed at most were near the cauldron, which housed the Olympic flame, and behind the flagpoles, where the flags were raised for the national anthems. Everyone was so excited to see the flame, and sometimes we were so close you could feel the heat off it. Seeing the flags being raised by the military was also great fun. They would fold the flags up hidden from view, then march up to the poles, salute, and hoist up the emblems of whichever countries had won gold, silver, and bronze. As the national anthems played, the TV cameras would focus on the flags, so my son and daughter and family and friends saw me on the TV several times. The military kept passing us chocolates, so we were able to give them to the children in our seating area. The youngest I met was a boy of just 3 months old. Also, one evening, Kate and I were checking accreditation to make sure the press and other VIPs had the right to go into specific areas in the stadium. The atmosphere in the stadium was electric. When David Weir won the 800 metres and the 1500 metres, the roar of the crowd was unbelievable. It was such an honour to cheer him on in such magnificent races. It was also great to see Eastbourne girl Beth Woodward get silver in the 200 metres. The closing ceremony was incredible. I really liked Coldplay, and because there was so much music, I found it easy to follow. The visuals had been rather lost on me as there was so much going on. I could just see the odd flash of light here and there. The music, however, was beautiful. It was sad when it all finished. It had been hard work, but I didn't want it to end. Fortunately, it carried on for one more day, as I was determined to go to the victory parade held in honour of the Olympic and Paralympic athletes. Kate couldn't come with me, so I went with another games maker called Lisa. Even though we didn't have tickets to the exclusive area just outside Buckingham Palace, we managed to get seats there. I got very emotional as the 21 floats of athletes went by, and I waved my flag with pride. I was so proud of being part of London 2012.
Great stuff. Well, I think that's probably about it for this month. Jo, do you think?
I think it is, yeah. That's flown by.
It has. And contact details. Do you want to give some of them for us, Jo?
Right. The email address, as usual, is podcast@svopa.co.uk. And you can follow us on Twitter @svopa. You can also follow Michael, can't you?
You can, which is Ike Allen, IkeAllen. And you can get us on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/SVOPA Liverpool. By all means as well, contact me direct. I'll give my address and phone number so you can maybe send in recordings, because we've not unfortunately got anyone for the over to you this month, have we?
No, we haven't. So, you know, get in touch. Give us your, you know, give us your views about school or what you've been doing since school. Anything you feel like talking about. drop us a line or drop us a voice message or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be great. So my phone number is 0161 287 1841. My mobile number is 07930 444 656, and the postal address is Michael Allen, 3 Consort Avenue, Royton, Oldham, OL2, 5 S for Sugar, E for Echo. The other thing we want to say as well, which we didn't say at the beginning, but we'll say it now, is welcome to all the new listeners who found us from the CD, which went out last month. So hopefully we've got you listening, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, it's good to have you along, and let us know if you want to come onto the podcast to do an interview, or, you know, if you've got any feedback, anything like that, we'd love to hear it. Even if it's bad, we don't mind.
No, not a problem at all.
So I think all that remains is for us to say goodbye, isn't it?
It is. So until next time, speak to you all soon, get in touch, and see you in Tibworth.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.